Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to be here in Sunbury today in the studio with Sean over there on the other side of the glass. I am in the Lawrence chair. I guess this is the power chair
for you. Yeah, the OTM chair.
I'm not really feeling anything. I've already had the offer, like, if I need the suit to come on board, he's more than happy to come in here.
Well, his afternoon must have freed up.
No, I just gave him a three-word answer.
Go.
Sell something. All right. So I said to him, I said, hey, so it's a big party tonight. He goes, oh, it's not really a party.
Really? For him?
Oh, my goodness.
It's for us.
Just loosen up and go and let your hair down. Well, there's much hair. But, I mean, let your hair down and have a good time, for goodness sakes.
I could have sworn that end of the building was on a modified schedule.
I can't wait to see all these people tonight. I can't wait to see all of them because we're going to have fun. Yeah. Have a good time.
Yeah.
All right? Meanwhile... This is a business thing. What? You could just tell it's the end of the year and the pressure for certain people's on. All right.
This is the one time of evening where a couple of hours, it's got nothing to do with business. It's all about camaraderie.
Just up and just have a good time. Have some laughs.
Yes.
You know, I'll do what I did last year. I'll answer all the Penn State football questions people have. Right? So it's just an average night for me.
Right.
So I'll just do that. But we'll have a good time with it. Let's see. Now, let's get to a couple quick notes. Let's start with basketball. Last night, Indiana beat Penn State 64-62. Penn State has now lost three games this season by a total of 7 points. All of them have something in common, and one of them is they've fallen behind in each one. And to me, when you are mounting a comeback, at some point you have to put yourself over the threshold and put yourself into the lead. Not one of those where Penn State was coming back, did they ever pass the other team and take the lead, thus changing the emotional dynamic of the moment. That's what they need to do when they're in these comebacks. It's obvious statistically what went wrong. 11 for 26 at the free throw line, and one for your first eight will do that. To me, a good, not great, but a good percentage at the line is if you walk to the line, you're 17 to 24. It's about 71, 72% right in that neighborhood. You'd like it to be higher than that, but to me, that's an average night. Penn State was 11 to 26. So if they go last night 14 for 26, which is not great, 14 to 26 is not a great night. Guess what happens? They win. Having a lousy night at 14 to 26 at the free throw line, they win the game. Instead, they're 11 for 26. The other part is missed layups. 9 for 26 on layups last night. So often, Penn State would make a really nice defensive play, get into transition mode, and not finish. Block shot, missed layup. Leaving too soon, making the wrong decision. Last night, Penn State turned the ball over only 8 times. I think Indiana had 14 or 15 turns last night. Yet Penn State only had 2 more points off of turnovers last night than Indiana because they didn't finish the play. Next part is, let's talk about the Josh Reeves factor. An absolutely marvelous player. So many things he does, and I'll give you, let's talk about the plus of what Josh Reeves did last night. There were several NBA scouts there last night, and somebody asked me after the game, wow, who are these scouts here to see tonight? Well, yeah, it's nice they can take a look at Juwan Morgan. It's nice they can take a look at Lamar Stevens and at Josh Reeves. which they all at some point or another did. But they were all primarily there to see Romeo Langford, who was the fifth-rated high school player in the country a year ago out of New Albany, Indiana, which is just over the line from Kentucky. Indiana was fortunate. He ends up signing with them. He is an understated player that is very, very good, really good. Many people feel he is a top 12 NBA pick. That's why the pro scouts were there last night. In the first half, he showed us why, because he ended up having 15 first-half points. In the second half, he did virtually nothing. I don't think he really realized he was in the building in the second half, because Josh Reeves did that well defending him in the second half. Big plus. Now for Josh, offensively, he needs to slow down and settle down as he plays. He needs to slow down and settle down. Let the game come to him a little bit more. He's forcing a little bit too much action. He's forcing himself to, all of a sudden, boom, he's in a double team. Or he's forcing a pass, and I know what he's trying to do. There's some nobility to it. But he's been trying the last few games to get Mike Watkins involved. All right, trying to, get him a pass in a certain spot, bounce pass to a certain spot. But he's forcing that too much, and Mike really hasn't been ready for it. And so I do understand what Josh is trying to do, but he needs to shoot the ball better. You can't go 0-for-6 in the Bradley game, which is a 3-point loss. And you can't go 1-for-9 in the Indiana game, which is a 2-point loss. That's 1-for-15. Here's my premise on that. It is obvious who the number one scorer is for Penn State. It's Lamar Stevens. It should be obvious that the number two or three scorer on a given night, the number two or three scorer, consistently should be a veteran senior like Josh Reeves. Some nights, he's a distributor and Bolton's the second scorer. Some nights he's a distributor and Dredd's the second scorer. Whatever, okay? And then there's some nights where the shot's falling in, Josh is the second scorer. But he should never be worse than the third scorer on a given night for your team. Thus, having him 0-for-6 like the Bradley game, or having him 1-for-9 like last night, really does hurt your ability to win the game, because you're counting on – he's a stat sheet stuffer. But you really expect him to go out there and giving you 11, 12 points a game, 7 rebounds, 3, steals are off the charts, 4 or 5 more steals. I mean, that's what you're looking for from him, maybe getting you like 4 or 5 assists. But it goes back to that first part. You're expecting 10, 11, or 12 points out of him somewhere, just through the nature of the game and because he's got the ball in his hands. So he needs to just relax and just play ball. And not take on the, I've got to be the second scorer. I've got to force. Josh, I know it means a lot to you. Just slow down. Okay, you're not a freshman anymore. Okay, the game should be going at 5 miles an hour for you. He needs to do that. Now, oddly enough, on defense, the game is going 5 miles an hour for him. That's the odd part. Defensively, the game is really slow for Josh Reeves. And Langford found that out point blank last night about him. Like, this guy can defend, which he can.
So this team numbers were off quite a bit. They were down 10 with under the 12 minute media timeout. Did you kind of feel at any point you and Dick that they were kind of it was slipping away at that point?
Well, they weren't offensively. They weren't playing well enough. The odd thing is the defense has been fine. When you look at what they've done defensively. They've gone out defensively. I mean, right now they're number 10 in the nation in adjusted defensive efficiency. Indiana's the seventh team in 8 games that's been held under 1 point per possession. So that part's putting them in a position to win every game. They're 4 baskets away from being 7-1. 4 baskets. Okay? Or 8 free throws. But they're 4 two-point baskets away. Well, now you got to find those 4 baskets, which means you've got to find some level of consistency out of some guys. Last night, I thought Bolton played pretty well. I thought Dredd played pretty well. So 2 of the 3 freshmen, and I always talk about 2 of the 3 freshmen have to play well. It depends on what the combination of the two happens to be. They got that last night. You don't expect Josh to go out and have a 1-for-9 night. It's like not like it's never happened before. But you don't expect it.
You like the minutes that Mike Watkins has been getting so far? Is Patrick on?
Mike was wounded last night. He was actually playing pretty well, but I think his leg was bothering him in the second half. It's been 9 months since he played. I did not expect him to be in full swing and really back to being himself maybe till January. But I thought he'd be out there just enough where he would help them and take a lot of pressure off John Hara. You know, John Hara had this, okay, I got to stay in the game. I can't foul. Oh, no, I'm fouling. Oh, I got to get every rebound. Now John can kind of play because he knows he has Mike there. You're not going to your fourth and fifth options. Satchel Pierce should be your third option, but he's not available. He's academically ineligible. Okay, so Trent Buttrick and Lamar Stevens are your fourth and fifth options in the five spot. With Mike out, suddenly your fourth option has become your second option. That's not ideal. So with Mike back, that's given John a chance to go out, play, let his hair down, just go out and just play John Hara basketball. And he's been doing that. So John's been doing that. Mike, though, that leg is still going to get sore on him. And he's still trying to get himself back into game shape, even though he's been practicing. Games are different than a practice, just the way it is. And they're not going tonight, which makes being here a lot easier. They will go tomorrow, and I'll watch some of that before I go over and do the talk show tomorrow. Just to, you know, see how Mike's doing and so forth, especially see how Mike's doing.
I'll say this has been a great idea, having these very early December conference games. I mean, look at Michigan and Northwestern with a terrific one last night.
Well, I mean, we had Jim Delaney on the show 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And if you recall, I asked him the question, Jim, does this, in your mind, have a level of permanence to it to try and promote basketball earlier in the season? And remember, he said, you're thinking the way we're thinking, I think was his answer. And now when they expanded to a 20-game schedule, now you play these two, and then you start up again with 18 straight like you normally would over the years, right after New Year's. The problem Penn State has is as follows. By getting off to an 0-2 start instead of 1-1, your next game in conference is at Michigan. That is not ideal. It's not ideal. Now, Penn State will not be the only team in the 0-2 boat in conference play. There are actually several teams that are in an 0-2 boat in conference play. In fact, I don't think anybody's 1-1 right now. I think everybody that won, let's see, Michigan went to 2-0 last night. Northwestern went to 0-2. Penn State fell to 0-2. Indiana's now 2-0. Michigan State's now 2-0. Rutgers is 0-2. You know, so it's all the teams that won their opener in the conference came back and won their second game. All the teams that lost their conference opener lost their second game as well. So they're not, but it also puts you in a very uncomfortable boat. You feel like you're behind the eight ball when you start up conference play again the first week of January. And I did make that point after the Maryland game, emphasizing how important I thought the Indiana game was for that particular reason. And I remember Dick looked over at me and he's like, I didn't think of that. Because you're thinking, what's the next game? It's Colgate. And then the next game after that's NC State. It's not like in the non-conference you still can't make some non-con hay because you've got NC State and you've got Alabama. You know, a neutral game and a road game. You win those two in combination with Virginia Tech. Now you made a statement and now you've given yourself a conference fudge factor on record. So let's see how that part plays out. But they're 4-4 right now. Absolutely must win the next game. Okay, no getting around it. And then you got NC State after finals in Atlantic City. As usual, the suit heard I was going to Atlantic City and handed me a quarter. All right.
What's he going to hand Doug Birdsong before the Bison go to Hawaii? Men's basketball, they're going to be in the Diamond Head Classic this year.
I understand that, but he gave me a quarter to play in the slot machine.
Right.
It's just,
you're going to hand Doug a couple of bucks to bring him back a pineapple?
Oh, my goodness.
You know?
But, you know, I mean, with the knowledge that suit light is transferring to the University of Hilo, which is terrific.
Yes.
I'm really happy. I said, what's he going to major in?
A lot warmer than Reading.
He said, hotel recreation management.
Perfect.
We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Great to have you with us on the show today. Sitting in the Lawrence Power Chair. It's really kind of an aura. You're not buying.
It'll hit you before 5 o'clock. You'll get that.
Oh, absolutely. No. I mean, I'm feeling the power right now.
Good.
Yeah. Suddenly, out of nowhere, I want to talk about whether or not to build a wall. No. All right. And then the suit dropped in. He said, if we need any help. And I said, I looked at him. I was like, what do you want?
We're talking about the radio station in Cleveland that decided not to play Baby It's Cold Outside. That's been a big on the mark topic last couple days. Yeah.
What is the problem with that song again? It's like, let's pretend any of us really listen to the lyrics. So what's the problem? Because we really don't. Hey, it's cold outside. Yeah, that sounds great. Seriously. I always love that they listen to the, you know, can look at the lyrics of the song. How many of you pay attention to the lyrics? I mean, really, except, hey, I think on that song, I think the only thing people know is, baby, it's cold outside. After that, like, baby, it's cold outside.
Either that or hands as cold as ice. That's about it.
Yeah. So what's the problem with the lyrics?
I guess they just think it falls into the Me Too, you know, thing out of Hollywood the last year or so. They just think... I guess they think it's at the point they're just a little too suggestive, but I'm trying to figure that out too. And it's like, okay.
I would like to point out where I'm doing a really great job. I'm not really paying attention to these things. You'd be amazed how comfortable your life can be.
Well, you've been busy. I mean, you're getting out of football, starting into basketball. Now you got bowl prep going on. So you know, you got a lot going on.
Well, it's like, I've talked to coaches about this. You know, and they'll say, oh, you know, somebody said this, said that. I said, do what I do. Don't pay attention to it. I think you'd be amazed. I've been doing this for a long time. I make mistakes. I know I do. But Gil Santos gave me a great piece of advice years ago. And I think this applies to everybody, right, that has been in the business for a long time. All right? You'll get to a point experience-wise, he told me, where you'll be the first person to know when you've made a mistake, and you'll be the first person to know when you've done it right. You're not going to need somebody to tell you. Now, there are exceptions, and the suit did show up about a half hour ago.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors Studio is in Sunbury today. Great to have you with us. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. I just got off the phone with Mr. Girardi. I'm not going to repeat what he said about the suit.
Okay.
this thing would be better that way, don't you think?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I mentioned about the party tonight. He says, well, I hope everybody has a good time. I said, well, one guy is looking at it as a major opportunity.
Well, that's how DJ looks at things when he's at the track. I mean,
yeah, but when he's at the track, it's business.
Right.
Right? You know, when he's at the track, it's business. He doesn't go to the party at the track, you know. When there's a party at the track, it's a combo.
Right.
Right? But it's also understood. Tonight's a party. It's a party.
Absolutely.
You and I are going there to have a good time.
We will.
Bob Buehner's going to have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Cottrell is going to go and have a good time. Jamie's going to go and have a great time.
Right.
And then there's you-know-who. I need a big month.
It's like, wait, you said that in April. Hang on.
These are the same quotes you used 2 months ago. let's see. This time, instead of Jack Ham, it was Dick Girardi I was talking with on the phone during the news break. We were talking briefly about what happened last night. It's just one of those games where, okay, if you watch the game, just watch the game in terms of who's better, what's frustrating about it is the team that was actually better last night is not the team that won because they couldn't put the ball in the basket. All the steals, all the forced turnovers, the rebounds. You watch the last 5 minutes, you tell me what quality chance Indiana had in the last 5 minutes. How about none? Yet Penn State's 9 of 26 on layups. 9 for 26 on layups.
Well, I was in here last night running the Bucknell game over on Eagle 107, and I had one ear on that and one ear on you and DJ at the end of the game. You're kind of describing that last play
to try to
get it into either tie or get the win when it was 62-60. I wanted to get right home and see the replay, and it just looked like
I can't tell you what I know what they're trying to do. Look, I know what they're trying to do. They were trying to set up a double screen, get the ball to Lamar. Something happened between Miles Dredd and Mike Watkins about where they were supposed to be in the play, and it fouled the whole play up.
And there was what, 2.1, something like that?
2.3,
okay.
Which is fine. 2.3, you can make a nice catch. You can put the ball in the deck even once, make a move, whatever, boom, then put the ball up. But something between Miles and Mike, one of the two was not in the right spot. I think it was the freshman. That was not in the right spot. Because Mike was only brought in as a decoy anyway. He was supposed to set the down screen. And whatever. They didn't, never even came close to getting the shot up. That's the, that's the crusher where at least if you take a shot, you feel like, oh, okay. Didn't get that. But you watched the game last night. What's interesting about it is I was anxious to see Indiana. To see how they are, especially with Langford. I'll be frank with you. After watching them in person, they are less impressive in person than I thought they would be. Now, what does it say about the fact Penn State didn't win the game? Again, the inability to put the ball in the basket. If you go 14 to 26 at the free throw line, which is not a good night, 14 of 26 is not a good night at the free throw line. That's the equivalent of being 7 to 13. That's not a good night. Guess what? You win the game. Even with a mediocre night at the free throw line, you win the game. 11 of 26 doesn't win the game. 9 of 26 in layups does not win the game. You got to finish, and you can't act as if there are ghosts all around you waiting to block your shot as you're driving to the bucket. Just keep going. Force the officials to make a call. Keep going. Don't take off too soon. Don't try a Euro step. Right? Just keep going. Stop thinking so much. Just keep going.
So is a Euro step like a shuffle and a step back?
No, it's a Euro step, so that extra step, and they step to the side.
Okay.
You know, it's whatever. It was frustrating last night. Very frustrating. And I understand why the fans would be frustrated by that because, to be honest with you, I said to Dick, I said that game should have been 75-64 Penn State. It should have been 75-64. It should have been like, okay, final 5 minutes. It's like coast home, hit some free throws, get the heck out of there. But got to go back to work. Got Colgate next. That'll be Saturday at 2. By the way, the UMBC game on the 29th is going to be a 1 o'clock game. They made that announcement today. And because of the way the plan works, usually the last few years I've missed that game. I'm not missing that game. In fact, I'm not missing any basketball games this year, the way it worked out. Because the game plan is to do the game on the 29th, and I'm going down the 30th. And then there's a plane coming back right after the game on the 1st. And I'll just come right back in that, and then on the 1st that night, and then go out the 2nd to Michigan with the basketball team.
But with the frustration of last night's result and all the basketball games that you have seen and broadcasted over the years, I mean, just the feeling when just one of those nights where just seems like there's an absolute cover on the top of the bucket.
Well, yeah, but you have to make your own luck. Yeah, I'm a big believer in making your own luck. And I'm also a big believer that you can hurt yourself by thinking too much. That's what practice is for. Practice is where all the thinking is supposed to take place. After that, just go out and play. Relax and play. Your preparation should be enough to then make you play the game at a good level, sometimes even a great level. So your preparation has to mean everything. And I always love the old standby. Well, dude, I mean, they ought to be practicing free throws. You know, you're absolutely right. You know, I mean, all the practice I've been to, I haven't seen them take one free throw the entire thing. You're right about that. You're an idiot.
Well, I got to thinking a month ago at one of the football press conferences that some of the players were saying, okay, this is what we're doing in practice during the week. Now we have to take this into game day on Saturday. So
They practice free throws all the time.
Yeah.
The last drill they do, you know what the last drill they do every practice? It's called win the game. Every single person has to go up and hit a free throw. Now, they put it up on the scoreboard as, I think they put it up as 70-70. Every time you hit a free throw, now it's 71-70. Then you hit a free throw, it's 72-70. Then we put the suit up there, he misses a free throw. Well, no, okay. Now it goes, okay, we were up 72-70. Every time you miss one, you lose 2 points. So now it's 72-72. The opponent gets 2 points. All right, now you miss another free throw. Now you're down 74-72. Now I hit 3 free throws in a row. Josh Reeves, Watkins, Lamar, say they're the next 3 guys up. Now it's 75-74. See, that's how they do that, where everybody does that. Beyond the usual, okay, you got to make 5 free throws. Then they play the game of how many free throws in a row can you make. And then in shoot around, they'll have that extra free throw game. Okay, down here, who's going to make 7 in a row? Who's going to make 7 in a row? And they play the game. All right, restart. Let's go again. They're constantly doing that. Something goes wrong in practice. All right, everybody get on the line. Okay? Everybody gets on the line. Nope, forget it. Jamari Wheeler, make 2 free throws. If he makes them both, nobody has to run. This happens all the time. Right? All the time. And they ought to be practicing free throws. Thank you, genius. Appreciate it very much. You know?
Make another 100 before you go to the hit, yeah. Before you hit the showers.
Terrific. You know, I don't recall seeing you at practice.
Well, I think it was 5 or 6 years ago when Patrick had an open practice in the Jordan Center, and I think it was an October day. I think Penn State football was at Ohio State later on in the day, and they did like a game time scenario second half, and I think they may have put 2 or 3 minutes on the clock, and then they went into the free throw scenarios then,
right.
too. Yeah,
sure. I mean, and they go through all of this. You know, they go through game situations. Then when they're absolutely exhausted, they want them shooting free throws. When they're totally exhausted, they want them shooting free throws. Okay, it's the end of practice. Got to make some free throws. All right, here we go.
Well, it could become a time in February. You know, it's a battle of attrition, and it can come down to
free throws. Well, it's like every game is like, look, you get down to the last. I keep the stat myself on my own chart. And I'm the one that determines on my chart as to what I consider to be significant final 4 minute free throws. I mean, you'll get stats from certain teams and they'll go, free throws, final 4 minutes. Well, it's every free throw they've taken in the last 4 minutes of the season. Final score, 97-60. And Bobby took 8 free throws in the final 4 minutes and made all 8. So he's 8 for 8. That's irrelevant. That's insignificant. I'll actually take the game chart myself and the play by play chart of nights I think are significant and get to the last 4 minutes, and that's how I chart mine. So I make that determination myself. Mark Wogenrich is going to be on the show today, by the way, from the Allentown Morning Call. We'll talk about Matt Millen, about Penn State football and the bowl matchup with Kentucky, and about Urban Meyer as well as the college football playoff. I think you're going to see more and more of a groundswell, and this goes back to our conversation with Tony Knopp when we had him on the show a couple of weeks ago, that there's going to be more of a groundswell for 8 in the college football playoff, and a driving factor is going to be the corporate partners. The corporate partners are the ones saying, hey, college football is the place to invest. If you want some tangible truth behind that, the Ohio State-Michigan game is the highest regular season Fox college football game ever. The game between Alabama and Auburn was slightly off from last year, but the SEC title game between Alabama and Georgia is the highest rated SEC championship game in years. Ratings have been going up across the board throughout the season. The Penn State-Ohio State game was an off-the-charts rating success. You're seeing that all over the place now with college football. So in an era where we've seen a decline in some ratings, and I'll give you an example of a decline in a rating, the regular season ratings for the NBA are down 6% on ESPN and down 24% on TNT this year.
That's huge. Well, I think with LeBron in L.A. has something to do with that, too.
Because they're not getting him on in East Coast prime time.
Yeah.
Suddenly he's showing up at 10:30 at night, and the people in the East Coast, I'm going to bed. It's a regular season game. I'm not going to watch this. That's now later in the year, April, May. Yeah, they'll watch because it's a playoff game. But this time of the year, it's not worth staying up to watch. Just not. And it's proving out in the ratings. ESPN's down 6% and TNT's down 24%. Now the college football ratings are going really, really well. Really well. Bowl games last year. You know, Penn State and Washington last year in the Fiesta Bowl drew 10 million viewers. 10 million for a non-playoff New Year's Six game. That's incredible. That's great. That's why when we get to the argument of, which is, again, you know, the familiar refrain, too many ball games, there are too many ball games. Fine, don't watch. I don't recall us putting you in a room, locking the door, tying you up, and turning the TV on and forcing you to watch the Bahamas Bowl. You have the choice to sit there and go, okay, let's see what's going on A&E tonight. Okay? You can do that. That's your choice. You know? The bowl game is just another choice that you make on your viewing. Well, evidently, it's a choice a lot of people are making. 39 bowl games. 38 of them drew 1 million viewers or more. Only one bowl game last year was under a million viewers. One. It makes a big statement about where college football is right now and why it's such a hot buy and why the move to go to 8 is very much on the table, because corporate partners want to buy into 8. They want to buy into 8 because they feel it's a hot commodity to buy into. That's going to be a driving factor as time goes forward. We'll come back with more in a moment. as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. All right, welcome back. We're talking about the college football playoff and getting to eight. It's interesting where people talk about the validity of the regular season. Is there validity to the regular season if you lose a game in September and suddenly feel you're out of it? If you lose twice, you're out of it? That's it? You're done? How valid's your last month of the season if you lose twice? I mean, people don't talk about that part. There's more pressure in college football than in any other sport to be undefeated. In this particular year, you had three undefeated teams in the playoff: Alabama, Notre Dame, and Clemson. You have one one-loss team in Oklahoma. There is more pressure to be undefeated in college football than any sport, and there's more pressure in college football to have no more than one loss than any other sport. If you do, for example, open things up to eight, now, I want to see how it's accommodated. Let's start with that. I want to see how it's accommodated, because I don't want the season becoming like an NFL season. I just don't want to see that, where you're playing 16 games. I mean, the high school football playoffs are this weekend, the final. How many weeks have they played? This is what, for these teams, is it what, week 15? Week 15? They're high school kids. They're playing 15 weeks of football? But we're worried about safety. Really? You're worried about safety? So we're going to play 15 games. Great. We're going to have 82 district teams get in. Really? 82 is a big number. I mean, you have teams under 500 being invited to play in the playoffs. Right? They've got to cut that stuff back. They need to cut that stuff back. That's my big concern about college football. How long is the season going to be if you go in that direction? And that's going to be the part I want to see.
Yeah, a key factor, I think, is, too, once they move this up to eight teams, and if they want to start playing right away, you know, this time of the year, early December, you know, which conference games are going to go by the wayside, which conferences are going to have to eat up some revenue in order for this to happen.
Well, here's the issue.
Or which bowl games may go by the wayside?
No, bowl games are going to go by the wayside. That's not going to happen. Okay. Do you eliminate the conference championship games, which means do you eliminate divisions? See, that's the issue. Do you end up eliminating divisions, or do you use that playoff weekend as an elimination weekend? And if you do, there are a couple ways to do it. You can take the first weekend in December and you can pick the eight teams and have them play the quarterfinals, then wait a month and play the semifinals. You can do that. You certainly can do that. Or you can take the conference championship games, use that to weed out what you want, get the conference champions into the playoff, and then play the weekend before Christmas, and then play the weekend after Christmas on New Year's weekend. You can do that. It does extend the season one more week for those eight teams, but you can incorporate the bowl games, Sean, to do that. You can incorporate bowl games to do that, because you're going to need four of them, two of them, and one. You need six bowl games to then get to one national championship game. So you can take the ones that are already in existence now. So instead of having the Fiesta Bowl, the Peach Bowl, and the Rose Bowl on the outside looking in, they could be quarterfinal games to then open the door to getting you to where you want to go. So the Sugar Bowl, Orange Bowl, the Sugar Bowl, Peach Bowl, Fiesta Bowl would all be you, and the Rose Bowl this year would be
You're listening
games.
To News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.